welcome to Mooney Tubes episode 12. I am Cece from the Sailor Moon Obsession blog, and with us is our very handsome and ripped Brad.
Hey!
And unfortunately, Eku isn't with us this time. She had other social obligations. So it's just you and me, Brad. Yay!
More room in the bed for us.
Oh! Now, this time, I was trying to keep it clean, and then you just went down that route. No problems.
You gotta keep the fans happy.
Yeah, I guess.
Anything for you fans.
Anything for you. So, just let me take out my pants here, and then...
Yeah, stop hugging the sheets. So, what's happening?
Well, actually, a lot. Queen Beryl just passed around here, or in other words, Tropical Storm Beryl.
I know.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, she's all right, I guess. But other than that, everything's all right, I guess. And how's everything in Tokyo? Any mysterious dark circuses appear during the eclipse?
No, not again. Actually, I think we had an eclipse last year, too, so it's kind of a good time for eclipses, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, weird. But no circuses, not even Cirque du Soleil. So.
Yeah. So.
Not sure which is scarier. But everything is fine and normal. There was actually a funny thing where they were actually selling those cardboard glasses. You know, you actually see in the Supers episode
with
the eclipse that they're holding them up so they can look at the eclipse without being blinded.
Right.
And you could buy them in convenience stores here.
Cool.
And they had like anime themed ones.
Oh.
And, like, superhero-themed ones.
Yeah.
And they were selling some Ultraman glasses for the eclipse. And it came out a few days before the eclipse that almost 50 or 60% of those glasses were faulty and didn't work.
Oh, my God. And everybody was using them? Oh, my God.
So if people watched the news, hopefully they didn't use them. But otherwise, it would have been, I think, a lot of kids with their Ultraman eclipse glasses looking up and getting blinded
and
serious eye damage. So that was quite amusing.
And a little bit disturbing. Well, all right. I don't know. This time we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're just going to, like, go through the news really fast, and then we want to talk about certain things. So news-wise, I think Italy has they're still publishing now the anime manga. Germany has the manga. They're still publishing it. I think they're up to volume 7. China has a manga. I heard that recently.
China?
Yes. Or wait,
really?
Wait.
Mainland?
No. I think it's Hong Kong, though. The website where I found it was in Taiwan.
I'll say Taiwan, I think, because they have a different market than mainland China, I think.
Okay, so it's a Taiwanese, then. Taiwanese.
Yeah.
Sailor Moon manga. So Taiwan has it. And right now I can't remember what other country. I think Thailand was going to get it. You know, it's just this huge revival everywhere, and I mean it's hard to keep track. But I'm glad for everyone. You know, Latin America Latin America doesn't have it yet, but
That's really strange. They haven't got the manga, but they got the anime.
Yeah, it's because, you know what? I think it's because there is really very low reading culture in Latin America. Like, that's where people read the least.
Really?
So, yeah, there's not much reading culture, so I think it's a little bit more difficult for people to pick up a comic book or a book.
But half of the manga's pictures.
I know. I know, but...
Look at all the pretty pictures. Well, speaking of the US manga, the release for the next volume has been changed.
Right. Well, this is for volume 6.
Six.
Okay, so this one came out, volume 5 came out like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, and that was all over the place, actually. That release of volume 5 was, that was weird. It was, like, people had pre-ordered it. It was going to come out, when was it going to come out? I think the first week of May. And people were getting delays. Like, I went in to buy it in person at Kinokuniya in Tokyo.
Right.
And they normally get it same day as the US, but then they told me there's like a 2 week delay due to some publishing problems or something in the US.
Hmm.
So then I just went on like Amazon and bought it on Amazon. And even then, that was like a 2 week delay as well. So, like, some people were getting them, like, in bookstores in the US.
Yeah.
But then other people were being told, too, that there was, like, delays getting shipments from the publishing company. And even some people pre-ordered, got them a few days before the release. Other people got, like, 2 weeks afterwards.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
There was, like, big, I don't know, something was happening with the actual publication of this. And from what I did, like, a questionnaire on my Facebook page. And about, how many, about 7 out of every 10 people, 70%, had printing problems with the issue that they got in their hands, with, like, ink smudging and stuff.
Right, yes.
And I think almost everyone, like, 70, 80% easy of the fans, even on Twitter, were saying there was at least a little bit of smudging. Some people had entire pages, like, super smudged, where you could barely make out what was on the page.
Right.
Other people, like myself, I got about at least 20 pages in my volume with smudged text, where I could read it, but it looked dirty as hell.
Yeah.
And some people emailed Kodansha, and their response was to a few people that they replied to, which is unusual because they don't do communication with customers at all.
PR, PR department.
Yeah, they have the worst PR department in the history of PR departments.
Yeah.
They did reply to some people, and they said, oh, no, this is just a one-off thing. That's just you, when obviously it wasn't. And some people, after that happened, emailed them and told them about their issue too. And for one or two people, Kodansha actually sent them a replacement for free.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But I've been telling a lot of people that, like, if you got it from Amazon, excuse me, Amazon does free replacements anyway.
Oh.
So if you just, like, there's a special page on Amazon, basically all about replacements. And you just, like, go on there, claim that your product was faulty.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll even send you a replacement without you having to send yours back.
Oh,
so you
cool.
basically get a free second copy for free.
A lot of people have been having this problem with the smudged pages. So, yeah, don't hesitate, guys. Really, we need to, because I'm sure they send these back to Kodansha as well. So, or at least Amazon might have a stronger voice. You know what, Kodansha, we're getting all these mangas back. You know, step up your game, or we're not going to distribute. I don't know.
But, you know, the thing is, like, since this volume one has been released, every issue of the manga has had printing issues.
Right.
And even Amazon, I think, has stopped selling each volume of the manga after a week of each release because of printing problems. But this is the first time it's been so widely spread, with the majority of people actually getting errors.
Yeah.
But every single volume has had issues so far.
Wow.
And it's always kind of bizarre. We're like, ooh, I wonder how long it will take this time for Amazon to stop selling the manga because of problems with the release.
Yeah.
But interesting thing, I will say this. Some people have been asking me, it's not actually a flaw. There's no English translation notes in the back of Volume 5. This is despite their advertising it as having translator notes at the back. There are actually no translation notes in Volume 5. No idea why. It could just be Kodansha just not feeling like adding them in. Maybe the translator didn't actually write any. But it's not really an error, I don't think. I think it's just Kodansha not choosing to include any.
That's weird.
So. Yeah, that was a bit bizarre, because they're advertising it as having translation notes. So it's a bit strange. But on the plus side, I did review. I wrote a review for Volume 5, and there was only one grammatical English spelling mistake, so it's great that they can finally use spell check.
Okay.
And that, remember, that's really, really funny when it has Wiseman saying, soon the earth will be within your gasp.
Oh, right.
Instead of grasp.
Right.
It will be within your gasp.
Right.
But that was it. All the other issues are purely just like a good characterization and strange phrasing boggles the mind. Overall, it's a better quality issue, and I'm doing those kind of finger rabbit ear things with quality out of the series so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely an improvement. But I would really still like a new translator.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't.
Well, by the way, yes. You mentioned that there is, like, a new version of the manga being sold.
All right. So, yeah, a few fans started tweeting me on even YouTube too, commenting that they'd picked up a volume of Volume 1 of the Kodansha re-release.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the issues I mentioned in my reviews weren't there. Like, there's that panel of Sailor Moon going, it's Makoto and bro, it's bro. And saying, like, Princess Summer. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then the famous one, Sailor Moon, introducing herself as the soldier of beauty and justice.
Right.
But, yeah, people were, like, emailing me and telling me that their volume doesn't have this. And, yeah, a lot of people started picking it up again. And, yeah, it turns out Kodansha's actually, with all the new reprints of the re-release of Volume 1, and it's only Volume 1 so far,
yeah,
they've actually fixed quite a few of those dialogue goofs they
yeah.
made in the first printing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit strange because, well, Kodansha doesn't communicate with us anyway at all.
Yeah.
So they haven't officially acknowledged that they're doing this. They're kind of just trying to, like, I don't know, it seems like they're kind of, like, pretending they didn't make a mistake. It's like, we didn't make a mistake. We're perfect. It's always been like this, and kind of, like, trying to sneak it onto the market. But, yeah, they haven't rewritten the whole script. But what they have done, they've gone through, and they've just really swapped out the most extreme cases of awkwardness. So Sailor Moon is now the soldier of love and justice. And instead of saying, it's bro, she says, it's Oni-san, which is the original Japanese.
Oh, cool. I mean, I
and,
like that.
that's,
I like that.
Just reading that panel, it flows so much smoother and naturally from, like, it's bro. It's really, really good to see. Like, I still would prefer, like, no honorifics and stuff, but it just flows so much more better.
Yes, I agree.
And what else? They Princess Summer is now just Princess.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, it reads so much better. It's just really strange that those small fixes and the reading experience flows a lot better than that. But, yeah, so that's kind of good. They are listening to fans a little bit. But, again,
yeah,
we don't know because they never actually communicate with us.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why they're not, you know. We're very vocal. Our community is very vocal of what we like and what we don't. And any other company is begging for feedback. You know, and
yeah, it is really strange. Especially when they have, like, companies like Dark Horse Comics,
mm-hmm,
and Biz, who are, like, very vocal on Twitter and Facebook,
yeah,
with communicating with almost any fan. It's kind of nice, though. It's kind of like, I don't know, like, if we just had a perfect release of the anime and the manga, we would have nothing to talk about. That's kind of great.
Good
that,
point.
Like, as fans, like,
yeah,
everyone, the whole community, like, we're all experiencing this together, kind of thing.
Yeah.
We can look back on this, like, oh, we look back on, like, you know, like, you know, the anime and stuff like that, Tokyo Pop Manga. But we look back on that now and laugh and go, oh, that was the day. Remember we had that.
Okay. So, another thing we got, GE keeps on coming up with new stuff every week, every month, every so long. We get a lot of new stuff. I don't know.
Every period of time.
Yeah. Every couple of minutes. No, every couple of hours. Whatever.
Every
I'm really awkward today. I'm so sorry.
At least every kilometer they release.
Yeah. They release something new. This time we have a few lunch boxes. We're super cute.
Oh, well, not lunch boxes. It's
lunch.
A lunch bag.
Oh, okay. Well, excuse
sorry.
Me.
Sorry,
excuse
but you're wrong.
All right. Okay, fine. A lunch
sorry.
Bag. And then,
yeah, which is, everyone loves that for some reason. Like,
yeah, well, it's pretty cute.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, it's, whenever I, like, when I posted that on my Pinterest account, which you should all follow, wink, wink, and Twitter, like, for some reason, like, out of everything, even the t-shirts, like, the lunch bag would seem to be the most popular. Everyone was like, I'm buying that now. And like, I think within 10 minutes after I tweeted it,
yeah,
it sold out on Amazon. It was,
well,
like, everyone just jumped on it and was like, getting it now.
Yeah.
Bye, bye, bye.
Well, you know, there's certain appeal for lunch bags and lunch boxes and stuff. Well, you know, I'm just going to insert my collector self in here. I really, like, I collect all kinds of toys. But I especially collect, like, 80s toys because I'm an 80s girl, and I collect Sailor Moon. And of those two, one of my favorite things to collect are lunchboxes, and in Sailor Moon's case is bento boxes. And the thing is, they're so appealing because a lunchbox is something you grow up with going every day to school and stuff. You know, you use your pens, you use your pencils, but, you know, you end up losing them or sharpening them till there's nothing left. You know, just things that you use every day. But a lunchbox has, like, this positive emotion because it's food. it's food, and you know, it's you're off school, so so it's your little break, so you get your space, your time off the stress, and you know, you open your bag, and sometimes the smell of the sandwich or whatever is in your box, you know, makes you feel better. So I think there's like something really nostalgic and really positive about a lunch bag.
Wow, I had no idea how strongly you felt about lunch bags.
I don't know. I mean, that's just personal. That's just me. That's why I collect them.
You should have like a new blog. It's like lunch blog obsession. lunchbox obsession.
Okay. Anyway. All right.
So yeah, that's cool. And we got a new Sailor Moon belt.
Right.
Which isn't a seat belt, which I think confused a lot of people. Because it was an actual belt that you wear,
right.
But it looks like a seatbelt with like the seatbelt buckle, and people actually thought it was a real seatbelt for like a car.
Really? So they actually thought they released.
Well, I did. Go back and listen to that podcast episode. I think we all did. Well, like it's not a seatbelt.
Yeah.
But so this is like a regular belt. Looks like a belt, and it has the same design as a seatbelt belt. So for those who don't wear seatbelt belts, now you can wear a seatbelt belt. This is. But that does look really cool, and I'm very, very tempted. If I ever see that, I'm going to buy that because that's something I would wear.
Okay, Moonies, now you know. Brad wants to see a belt. All right. There's also a few mugs, coffee mugs that they have. That you know what I'm talking about? GE?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like the kind of duotone, right?
Yeah, except... I mean, they have, like, a yellow one, and, you know, pretty much every Scout is their own color except for Mars. They don't have a red mug, and nobody knows why.
What color is
it? I think it's, like, blue or green. I don't know. I can't remember right now.
I just Googled all the images of the mugs.
Okay.
And so here what we have. We got Venus is gray and yellow.
Okay.
Jupiter is green and gray. Tuxedo Mask is like baby blue and gray.
Mm-hmm.
And Sailor Moon is white and blue.
Huh. Okay.
And Mercury is dark blue, light blue and white. Mm-hmm. And then Mars is like white and blue and white and black. So I think they all kind of match the sets. Like they're all kind of like gray and white.
Right.
And all the characters are actually white themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So not being red doesn't really bother me that much.
I mean, it looks nice all together. You know, if you put the mugs together, they make a nice combination. But, you know, hardcore fans like each character to have each color, so.
Yeah, it is strange that her, like, the Mars symbol on the back of the mug is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the other planetary symbols are the right color.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe the red ink is more expensive.
But it could be, you know. I don't know why they're ruining it all for Mars, but...
Like, are you crazy? Red ink in this economy?
Anyway, what else? We also got a new shirt, but this is from... Well, we got one from...
Go Hastings.
Yes, Hastings.
So, I had never heard of this company, because I'm Australian. I'd never heard of this company before. But yeah, so someone tweeted it to me. He goes, have you seen this? And I was like, oh, I'll check it out. And I just kind of assumed it would be like a bootleg one.
Right.
Because normally if it's not from Hot Topic or wherever, it's normally just a bootleg. And there are so many bootleg t-shirts online. So checked it out and it looked official. It even had like the official Sailor Moon logo in the collar.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, very much official. And it seems to be exclusive to Go Hastings,
mm-hmm.
The website. And I'm sure people can find this probably in random stores in physical real life. But for right now online, it seems to be exclusive to Go Hastings, mm-hmm. which seems really unprecedented and random.
Very random. It's really cute. It's very different from the other designs, which I'm very happy with. I'm sick and tired of the black shirts with randomly paste Senshi images. And this one also has randomly paste Senshi images, but they seem a little bit more in harmony. And it has a heart and it has a rainbow. And, you know, it's finally a nice change from the depressing ones that we've been getting all this time.
Yeah, it does seem really well composited.
Yes. So I'm very happy with that one. I'm totally getting it. And, I hope they start making more, you know, of this kind of design, but I'm just afraid that the material will be kind of see-through, like the first
Hot Topic. I was gonna say, like, several people were saying that it is kind of like that, what do you call it? I'm just saying, I've got this bamboo silk t-shirt I've got, which is kind of looks like a similar material. It's just very, very, yeah, transparent kind of cotton.
Yeah, here, hold on. I have my Sailor Moon shirt right here. Let me see if it says. No, it says 100% cotton. So.
Just very, very soft, right? Very soft.
Yes, yes. So, for now, I think those are the quickie news where we're supposed to go through quick, but, but okay, let's start talking, getting into conversations here. And I want to know this more than anything else. Brad, tell us how it was with Chibi-Jen. For those who don't know Chibi-Jen, she has a very, very funny website where she draws Sailor Moon comic strips. They're so funny. It's called Moonsticks. And oh my God, I am just going to link her all over the place. She is fabulous. I know, she is fabulous. She always makes me laugh. Right now, she's slowed down a little bit, but it comes and goes. It's like an inspirational thing. So anyway,
yeah,
she is from Australia, as same as Brad.
Yes.
And strangely enough, you guys have never met before, right?
No, it is actually quite strange. Well, we've been kind of following each other online for quite a few years now, like a long time, because she had this website called, well, she still does, it's called Chibi Land. And that's been online for a long, long time. I think almost as long as moonkitty.net.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been connected by that for a long time. And then she started Moonsticks about 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird, like we both lived in Sydney,
mm-hmm.
and she still lives in Sydney. And a lot in common. So we're both Australian,
mm-hmm.
both from Sydney. We're both twins. And yeah, it's kind of really bizarre, kind of the similarities. And we're both Sailor Moon fans, of course.
Right.
But she's a bit younger. I think she's about 5-6 years younger than me. Okay. So we kind of, I guess, missed each other in like kind of social events and stuff while
yeah.
out in Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. So we actually met up in person in Tokyo. Her and her boyfriend came and did some holidaying in Japan last month
yeah.
or the month before. And yeah, we met up. And luckily enough, I had the day off, so we hung out for the entire day.
Oh, cool.
Like 10, 11 a.m. right through to like almost last train in Shinjuku around 11 p.m. or so.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was great. We met up and we jumped on the train, went to Roppongi, which is right next to Azabu-Juban.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lunch, took photos of Tokyo Tower. And yeah, I took him around some Sailor Moon sites, went to Sailor Mars's anime shrine. And yeah, went into Tokyo Tower. And then went did some shopping and, yeah, had a great time just hanging out. And she was awesome in person. Like, I think, yeah, it's always a bit nervous meeting someone in person for the first time
right.
that you've been chatting with online. It's the second I met her and her boyfriend, it was like, hey, we gave each other a big hug and completely comfortable with each other. It was really, really awesome. I was so happy that she is pretty much the same as she is. Online.
Aww.
And I think I'm kind of the same too. I think I'm very much the same
yeah.
online as I am in person. I don't really change that much. And it was great. We clicked and yeah, talked about like, you know, Japan, Australia, Sailor Moon stuff. And her boyfriend was cool. Tried to be supportive of his girlfriend's fandom.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're talking about how she got me onto this Chinese drama because she runs this other website called ChinesePaladin.com.
Okay.
And which is about this Chinese period drama based on a role-playing game, and she got me into that show. I started watching that and I got really, really into it, and yeah, it was great. Just really great meeting her, and yeah, hope to catch up again and see her when I'm back in Sydney.
Oh, that's so cool.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. Are you planning to go back to Sydney?
Oh, I'm definitely going to go back this year for Christmas or New Year's anyway.
Okay.
And actually, it's really funny. I haven't really officially talked about this yet with anyone, but it would be really cool to make like an event in Sydney because we have some really cool Australian Moonies.
Yeah,
we've got well, Corey from the Stars fan
club.
Yes, he's in Melbourne. But then we got like, yeah, Chibi-Jen. We got people from the Dead Moon Circus fan film there
right.
in Sydney.
Yes,
and there's also that Sailor Moon Anna. I can never say it. Anna Lemma, is that it?
The
yes, Anna Lemma fan film. She's also in Sydney.
Okay.
And I think there are a few others too, but like we've got some pretty cool epic Sailor Moon fans in Australia. So next time I'm in Australia, I'm definitely going to like organize a meetup and get all of us together. And that would be really, really fun, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see that. I'd like to be there, but you'll tell us everything about it whenever you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was super curious how that was. And, you know, it's just like the meeting of two epic Moonies, you know? It was pretty cool.
No, it was kind of cool. We were geeking out for like the first hour or so. We were like, wow, it's like a crossover in real life. And yeah, it was cool. We were like, oh, we have to tweet about this, and like got out and took a photo and tweeted it, like,
yeah,
and yeah, to Twitter, and it was fun. Cool. I kind of wish I was like, there are more people around me who are like Moonies, like more interactions.
Yeah, well,
it's cool. I was watching your videos of when you went to the convention, and I was like, oh, I wish I was there, because we would have had so much fun together, like running around.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, we were going to talk about random encounters with fans. You met with Chibi Jen.
Have you ever met any other fans on like in person? Or have you ever met any other like Sailor Moon webmasters?
No.
Oh, really?
None. You know,
I'm not sure if I told you about that really funny story. So when I first, how I met Yoshi Moon from GenVid. Did I tell you about that story?
No.
For those who don't know, Yoshi Moon, sometimes called Yoshi. His real name's Yosanex. So he's got the three different names. He sometimes posts for GenVid.
Okay.
Or GenVid. GenVid, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, so we kind of became, it's like 8-9 years ago, like before I came to Japan. And we chatted a bit online and stuff. And turned out that we were both going to come to Japan. I think he came a month after I did. So I knew he was around too. So I bought two tickets for the musicals, and he came along and saw it with me, and we met in person. Yeah, and that was really, really fun. But yeah, actually, I think while he was here, we had Jay, I think it's his name, Jay, from who owns GenVid.
Okay.
And he did that whole a Moony tour, a tour
Selling
sites in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And I met up with that whole group for one day after work in the afternoon, and had like lunch with them, dinner with them at an izakaya and stuff. And I think walked around with a few other people too, around the Zabujuban for a bit too. So that was cool. Met quite a few people there for the first time who I'd been chatting with on Twitter or discussion forums for a bit. So yeah, met quite a few fans in person. It was kind of cool.
That's really cool. You know, you've had a lot of luck, you know, meeting people. I started the blog because I thought there was nobody for me to talk to. You know, I was just like me by myself with my own obsession. Oh, well, just make a blog. But thanks to the blog, I started to meet people. Like, I opened it in 2007, so it's been a few years already. And
now, that's pretty popular now.
Well, yeah, not as popular as I'd like, because I had to ask for your permission to you. All right.
Well, you have to explain that to people.
Yeah, okay, I'll explain that right now. The thing is, the Florida Anime Experience was last week at Orlando, and it was that convention where Terry Hawks, the voice of Sailor Moon, or one of the voices of Sailor Moon, she was going to be the guest there. And I figured, since I'm only 5 hours away from Orlando, it's pretty close, and I thought it would be once-in-a-lifetime experience, you know, going to see a Sailor Moon voice actress for the first time. Like, she's never appeared in any other convention before. So, you know, I thought it would be an interesting Moony experience. Thing is that I couldn't really afford to go. It's pretty expensive, you know, gas and hotels and food and everything you have to pay for. So I decided to go as press. Since I do have a blog that has certain following, I really wanted to, you know, use my, I don't know.
Your influence.
Right. My influences, and, you know, get into the convention as press. But unfortunately, my blog had to rank in certain level of popularity.
Like a Google PageRank or something, right?
Something like that. Yeah, it was some ranking system that I have no idea where they got from. But anyway, so I didn't rank high enough. But I could get in because I was doing it with the participation of MoonKitty.net.
So I think because like my site ranked higher,
yes,
that it met the criteria to get into there as press. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was absolutely cool. I was like, oh yeah, as long as we get like, you know, yeah, video interviews and stuff. And
yeah, I mean,
go for it.
So thank you, Brad, for letting me use your name, and I included you in the videos. I forgot why all this came up, but the thing is, oh, Mooney encounters. Yes, the thing is, I thought I was like alone in the Mooney world, and thanks to the Sailor Moon Obsession blog, I started Mooney people, and you actually were one of the first Moonies who started like regularly commenting and coming by, and then you know I was really happy to have you there, and you know it started growing and everything. That's when I started to meet people. But I've never actually met anybody in real life, except now that I went to the convention.
But that was really cool, because while you were there, you were like live tweeting to people about like if they saw you at the convention, they would walk up to you and like say what I say at the end of every podcast, and you were giving away like special Mooney Tunes chocolates, right?
Right. It was just a little Snickers bar, small, tiny. But you know, there's a little box that I made that had the logo, the Mooney Tunes logo. And
but those are really cool. Like, when I was like, when I saw the photo of that, like, I think I was on my lunch break. I was like on my iPhone. I was like checking my tweets.
Yeah.
And those were looked awesome, like the boxes that you made.
Oh, thank
you. It looked really, I was like, wow, she has a lot of free time.
I do. For now, yes, I do.
No, but really, like, the quality was, like, I was, like, I want one. That's, like, really cool.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what was really cool. I just watched the video, like, about an hour ago where you met, some people came up to you.
Yes. And it was really funny, the first one, because it was me waiting in line to get a Terry Hawk's autograph. But we were in line for a long time. And I was even tweeting. At the time, I was thinking, oh, my God, nobody is talking to me. I feel so awkward and lonely and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, you know, being all,
yeah.
I was being all depressed and sad and whatever. But anyway, as I was tweeting, this girl next to me started saying, I can't find that girl. Who is she talking about, you know?
Really?
Yes, she was just commenting with her other friend. She was saying, yeah, she was going to give chocolates. And then that's immediately when I said, oh, what are you talking about? What chocolates, you know? She said, like, oh, do you know about the chocolates? I'm like, what chocolates? I just want to make sure you're talking about the same thing I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And she's all like, the girl has a podcast, and she was going to give out chocolates. I was like, Mooney Tunes chocolates? And, you know, it just clicked, and she was super excited. She was like, oh, yeah, my God, I listened to your show, and I don't know.
Wow. So she didn't know what you looked like,
exactly,
or something?
Exactly. She had no idea what I looked like. And I said,
You should have, like, posted a picture of yourself, maybe, or something.
We only had that picture that I posted like a month ago of us three.
Yeah.
But I don't really, you can't really see me there because I'm holding up two mangas.
Right.
And then I used to make videos. I don't know if you're, like, you must remember.
Yeah,
I used to make
videos. Of course. Yeah.
So you're kind of familiar with what I look like, you know, kind of chubby, a big nose, and you know. but she had no idea. Like, she was, because she's a relatively new listener. And I've not making videos for a long time. I hadn't made videos like in 2 years. She was a new listener, but she was really happy, and I was super excited to find a Mooney Tunes listener.
Oh, that's cool. Just like watching that video, I was like, wow, a fan.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, really awesome.
And then Sailor Samara, she is very active within the Mooney fandom in general.
I've been a big fan of her YouTube videos.
I know, me too. I was like, oh my God, I saw all your videos and everything. You know, we were just fangirling over each other.
Yeah, I think she even won one of my competitions at one point.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I think so. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, okay. Well,
I do a lot of competitions.
So. I know. So anyway, she was there too. She was wearing a beautiful Super Sailor Moon costume. And she was super nice, and she said the words. She said the magic words, and she got her chocolate, too. So it was really fun, and that's, like, my first time I've ever spoken to a Mooney that, you know, related to the blog. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So how many fans did you meet? Like, how many people came up to you?
Oh, just those two.
Chocolates.
Really? Yes, that. Otherwise, I would have recorded every one of them.
We need to get some Mooney Tunes t-shirts made up, so next time we go to conventions, we can wear those t-shirts so people know it's us.
I know. That's the thing. That's exactly what I was thinking, because people don't know what I look like, and that's why they didn't come close. But anyway, It was fun.
That was exciting. So how was, did you actually get to speak to Terry Hawks?
Not at all.
Oh, really? You never even got to speak to her?
No. Like, do you really want me to go into it? Because I'm going to get very emotional right now.
Oh, but, well, you saw her in a, like, on stage, right?
Yes. Well, she was on stage, and she, I was sitting right in front of her, so, you know, I got close to her, and I did speak a few words with her, but, I couldn't really have the interaction I would have wished, you know. Well,
it's like, it was so weird, like, because I grew up watching the English dub.
Right.
And just having her say, like, on stage, like, she's like, moon, prism, power, like, it was really, really cool. I was like, oh, wow, it's like that voice coming out of a real person.
Yeah.
It's like,
yes.
Really, it's really bizarre, really cool.
You haven't really seen the video yet? I know you're going to do
it. I haven't seen the full one.
Right. Well, there's a moment where she says a few other phrases, and I'm not, and I've said this 1,000 times, I am not a fan of the American dub. Or the English dub, actually. But when she started talking in Serena's voice, even I could recognize that it was amazing. Because even I got chills and I got, you know, goosebumps, in my arms. Yes, it was really exciting. I mean, like I said, I've watched it a few times. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But, you know, having that presence and her yelling those words is really, really cool. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I really hope that you can watch the video and you can get all fangirly.
No, I will. It was like, yeah, really, really cool. I was like, oh, I wish I was there. Like, I wish I was in the same country. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So anyway, no, I wasn't able to meet Terry. I was in line 3 times. She had like 4 or 5 fan signings. She would sign and take pictures with you. I was in line 3 times, and I never got to talk to her, so I just left. Well, I mean, I would have wanted to get some footage of Terry, you know, talk to her and, you know, just interact with this very important person. It wasn't really possible. The thing is, this convention is a new convention, and they were very unorganized. So people who went in to get their autographs, she was like in a little room, people who would go in would never come out. So
what, they died? Oh, she's like devouring their souls.
No.
Never seen again.
No. I meant that they would stay and stick around as long as they could with Terry. So they were talking to her and, can you take a picture with us? And she was very nice. She was taking pictures with everybody, doing, you know, the Serena voices with every fan. And you know, if you're a fan, you're obviously gonna try and spend as much time with that person as possible.
Yeah. But, well, no, you were too. Like, you had a few questions you were gonna ask her, right?
Yeah, probably I would have. The thing is, there were tons of us still waiting. So the people from the convention should have, you know, pushed Moonies out. I mean, you know, if this were Comic-Con, they just give you 5 minutes, get your signature and get out. So
yeah.
You know, they're trying to cater as much people as possible, and I was in line 3 times and never had a chance. So,
that sucks.
It does suck. So
like, but they were advertising her appearance there for, like, months in advance.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, like, everyone went there just to see her.
Yeah, actually, it was pretty Sailor Moon-oriented. I made a whole blog post, if you guys want to check it out, with everything that was going on. Everything was Sailor Moon themed. You know, there was a Sailor Moon Super S game tournament. It was Sailor Moon yoga, Sailor Moon puppet making. What else was there? I mean, I can't remember anything else right now, but there was a lot of stuff going on. So yeah, it was a pretty cool event. Other than me not getting an autograph. like I said, there's a huge blog post on my blog. There is also that video on YouTube. There's video of the entire Q&A panel. There's video of cosplayers also playing, so if you guys want to check that out. And that's it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been possible without you, Brad, so thank you so much.
I'll tell you what, it's really cool. Like, Sissy made this really cool opening for the Moonkitty.net logo opening for the video. It looks very, very cool.
You like it?
Like, I wasn't expecting you to do that at all. So when you like tweeted me going, oh, I made this for you, what do you think? And I was like, holy, you know, crap. That's like, yeah, really awesome.
And I really like having that. Like, it's a brand. You're announcing that this is your video. But I really wanted this to reflect that it was both of us. That's why I had to make a nice one for you.
No, it was really cool.
Thank you. Anyway, yeah. So we're going to introduce our now popular, no, it's not, but now our very famous song intermission.
It's popular. People like it.
Really?
Yeah, people have been saying on Facebook they actually really like the interlude.
Oh, cool. Okay, now I'm happy. So I was digging through my old Sailor Moon files, and I found the piano fantasy, Sailor Moon piano fantasy, and I actually used it in one of the videos I recently uploaded. I don't know, I just really love the themes of the anime in general, so listening to them on piano is really cool. This time I chose it. It's the first time I get to choose on my own podcast.
And it will never happen again.
Aw, oh, damn it.
First and last time.
Anyway, here goes. The name of this one is Tuxedo Come In. Not too hard to... Yeah, not too hard.
Surprised.
we'll listen to it and we'll be right back. Thank you.
And we're back.
Wasn't that nice?
Yes.
I feel so sophisticated listening to piano music.
Now you can drink your tea with your little pinky finger up.
Lovely, with some Sailor Moon classical music. Who's that, I say? Jolly good. I love a little bit of Sailor Moon every now and then.
Keep going, this is hilarious.
Yes. Sissin loves a good pianist.
That is awkward, and I am going to stop this now because Brad is going to the dark side.
No, it was good. Actually, I really love that album.
It's really good. So anyway, the name is Piano Fantasy for anybody who's interested. You can probably find it at Sailor Music.
Or you could buy the CD officially from...
Well, if you find it officially,
a few of the CDs have been re-released, so maybe that has been. I don't know.
Okay. Well, how about this? I'll look for it on Amazon and CD Japan. Post links to it if I find any. And if not, you can find it at SailorMusic.com or .net. I'm sorry.
Recently, I got inspired by you yesterday. So I was like on Twitter, you were talking about Fiori. And how his meteor was like a gay pride parade float. Couple of pink flowers and everything.
Yes.
And I said, he's wearing way too much, too many clothes. He's not showing enough skin for it to be gay pride.
Right.
But I don't know why it got me thinking about gay characters in Sailor Moon.
Right.
And so I always found it really, really interesting. Like, there's always kind of arguments about who is gay and who isn't. And it's pretty obvious, I think, that Fiori's gay.
Right.
Like, it's very, you really have to twist a lot of logic for him not to be gay. And you can't really do the whole, oh, it's Japanese culture, they all act like that. And I was like, no, he's gay.
Yeah, he's pretty gay.
But, so I started thinking about all different gay characters in Sailor Moon. And I've decided to, like, write an article about all the different gay characters in Sailor Moon. And I was thinking, like, how many are there? And there's almost about 10, I counted. There's got, in the anime, we got Zoisite and Kunsite.
Right.
Who are gay men in the Japanese anime.
Right.
And then you got Fiori in the R movie. And then you got Uranus and Neptune.
Yeah.
And then you've got in Supers or Super S, there's a fashion designer and his boyfriend.
Right.
Well, in that one episode.
Who is... Oh, okay, I remember now.
They're definitely a gay couple. Yeah. And then, like, Fisheye, who is, apparently gender ambiguous, according to Naoko. Though, obviously, kind of a man, because you see him without his shirt on.
Exactly.
So, you know what I mean? So, I think it's very much just a gay man. She I guess a gay man in my book. And who else? That's about 8. I thought there was a few more, but so there's quite a few gay characters when you think, oh, and Seiya.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Seiya, but you said that you were kind of on the wall about that.
Yeah, I'm really on the fence with her because, I don't know, sometimes when you see the anime, even the manga too, it seems more like she's confused because Sailor Moon has kind of the same scent or the same kind of vibe as Princess Kaku.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it does kind of feel like a very kind of Japanese-y kind of thing where it's not really sexual attraction. It's more just kind of like, you remind me of someone who I love, but then they do kiss, right?
Right.
So that kind of does make it like a sexual thing. So... I know, it is really, really bizarre, and I guess there is no example of Seiya being attracted to a male character. Yeah, so I guess Starfighter is lesbian too, though it's really strange, they don't really make an issue of it, where with Uranus and Neptune, it's like every scene they're in, it's like, by the way, we're gay.
Yeah.
But they very much make a point out of it, even like... Every episode of the anime, it's like they always make a point to emphasize that they're lesbians. Where Starfighter, it's more like, I don't know, not a non-issue, which is really funny when you look at the comparison.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of like, maybe she's not. Even though she kissed Usagi, maybe... that could mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so quite a few. So I guess she's lesbian too. So quite a few gay characters.
Yeah.
So... I thought it'd be cool, like, make an article of, like, the top 10 or so, like, gay characters.
Out of that top 10, who is number one? Who's, like, the gayest one?
Well, I mean, think it was, like, making it a top 10, it was, like, does that mean who's the number one? Who's the gayest character?
Yeah.
Or who's the coolest gay character? Or
whichever, your choice.
I don't know. I haven't written it yet, and I'm still, I didn't used to be a political person, but recently I've become a very political person because I am a gay man.
Yeah.
And I always have had issues with the way homosexuality is portrayed in a lot of anime and manga. Because it's, I really don't like stereotypes.
Yeah.
And I am actually of the opinion that I'm actually glad that Zoisite was made a woman in the English dub.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, for one thing, in the Japanese manga, Naoko always intended Zoisite to be a straight man.
Right.
So I guess in the English dub, they made the character straight again. So one could argue that it's actually closer to Naoko's original vision in the manga. You know what I mean? It's confusing. But also, the character is so effeminate in the Japanese anime that it really is like a very kind of big negative stereotype of gay characters in Japan, in Japanese culture, that to be gay, you have to be like overly, really effeminate and a woman-like. And they made it so effeminate that all they had to do in the English dub was give the character a woman's voice. And everyone totally bought that she was a woman until you read online that it was actually a male character.
I don't know.
There's even scenes of her cross-dressing as Sailor Moon, right?
Right.
In that episode where Sailor V shows up.
Yes.
So, and it's stuff like that. So it's kind of like, I don't know, I think it's good to have gay characters on shows, but if it kind of portrays them in like a stereotype, I'm kind of against it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's really weird. I'm very, very conflicted. Where, like, I think Fiori, for example, is a great gay character.
Yes.
Where his love for Tuxedo Mask is on par with Sailor Moon's love and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But I think for changing Zoisite in the English dub was kind of a good idea because I wouldn't really want children who are potentially going to be grow up to be gay adults to have Zoisite as a kind of portrayal of a gay character on a TV show because it is a very negative, I think, portrayal, very effeminate, and the stereotype that all gay people like to cross-dress in women's clothes and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm kind of glad they did change it because it kind of was a kind of a negative portrayal. And people do grow up actually thinking gay people are like that in real life. So kind of a fisheye too. Like fisheye is a very similar thing too.
Yeah.
That was a very negative portrayal of a gay character.
Oh man, I love fisheye. But you know, I love him because, number one, because he has this thing for young and cute boys, which is very much like me.
That's what makes it really disturbing.
I like it when he, like, really is trying to get Mamoru to like him, and as a guy, because he said that. He says, no, wait. Yeah, he does say that. He's going to, wait, no, I think it was for the designer. I don't know. There's some point where he says, no, I'm not going to approach him as a girl. I'm going to be me as a man. Like,
yeah, so that was kind of cool. It is kind of cool that we had, like, a gay character kiss Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah. I mean, in general, I feel like, yeah, maybe it's not a very good light they're showing them in, but sometimes I'd rather them show them and acknowledge their presence than, like, instead of what they do in American cartoons, which is completely ignore them. Like, for me, it was the first time in an animation where I saw gay characters. Like, when I watched Sailor Moon for the first time. Because I was used to, like, Teenage Mutant Turtles and,
Right.
You know, all these American series that, you know, the Flintstones and everything. They would never even dream of having a gay character. And then having Zoisite and all these gay characters, for me, actually made me, like, I know it was probably ignorant for me to assume at one point that that's the way how gays were. But at least I started to acknowledge their presence and acknowledge that they existed. And since Zoisite died in Kunsite's arms and they, you know, made it a tragic scene.
Yeah, so that was nice. That was actually really cool.
That was cool. And I acknowledged that they had feelings. Like, they weren't this, oh, God, those stupid gays. No. Like,
so
they're people.
That's really cool. So I will say, like, while I don't like the portrayal of Zoisite, like, that death scene was really, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have easily just had Kunsite stand up and go, well, I'll go get someone else at the new gay bar. Like, time to rebound.
Yeah.
But, No, it was like very much like true love, and
yeah. So that's
that was
why,
nice.
That's why I am not a gay person, so I can't really say. I mean, I really love the gay community. I try to be like a part of it as well, because not that I want to be gay, but it's not in my nature. That's it. It's not in my nature. But I really love the community, and for me, it was never a negative portrayal of them, because that's how you know, it opened up my world to them. So
actually, that's an interesting point. And actually, I think I'm going to end my article on that.
Okay.
yeah, because like, none of the portrayals have been perfect, but at the end of the day, I think every single gay character on the show is shown to have true love feelings for their partner.
Right. Yeah, even
the gay designer in Super S, which I really didn't like at all, because he was like in a loving relationship with his boyfriend, and Fisheye comes along and goes, "Oh, I'm going to go with him instead."
Yeah.
And then he comes back and to his boyfriend at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
But even then, it was like kind of cool because love is love and all that.
Yeah, exactly. And even Fisheye had like a somewhat relatively heart-grinching, moment. Where, you know, he starts to realize that he's not really human and blah, blah, blah. But, you know.
Yeah, and Fisheye was the smartest out of the three in the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I really like that. And of course, I really, really ship. I ship Haruka and Michiru. Because they're, like, the coolest thing ever. Like, I never imagined, like, in my mind, lesbians were butch. All of them. And, you know, you see
Michiru. That is kind of cool that we have, Neptune. On the other side,
yes, a lipstick lesbian. She's a lipstick lesbian and artsy and elegant and you know, and she's the one in control in that relationship. You know, and Haruka is really butch, but cool.
Yeah. So, well, it is an interesting topic right now, because recently, some reason, like in the media, gay comic book and cartoon characters have been put up a lot, even in the mainstream news and mainstream websites, because in the X-Men comics, the character Northstar, who's actually been out of the closet for a long time now, for about 15, 20 years maybe.
Oh.
He's been out for a long, long time, that character. And he's actually married his partner.
Right.
In the latest issue of, I think it's Astonishing X-Men?
Yes.
And which is really, really cool. I have no idea who... I haven't read the X-Men comics, actually, in about 5 years.
Okay.
So I have no idea who his boyfriend is. Apparently it's his talent, his agent or something, because he's actually kind of a celebrity superhero in the comics. But yeah, so he did the proposal, and they had a wedding, so a gay marriage, which is cool because Marvel Comics, which is a very big, one of the biggest publishing comic companies in the US, and is also owned by Disney now.
Right.
Yeah, is very much basically putting their support behind gay characters.
Right.
And they've done it before. They've had gay characters in the past too. Like Northstar is the most obvious one, but they've had several others as well. That's really, really awesome to see like a gay marriage in an X-Men comic book. And I'm going to go back and read it just for that, because I want to show my support. But DC Comics has made an announcement that they're going to be outing one of their existing major characters in their reboot they've done of the entire comic line.
Right.
And everyone's been speculating over which character it's going to be.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a character that hasn't appeared yet in the universe reboot. So it's not going to be like Superman or Batman or someone.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like a character that hasn't yet appeared, apparently.
Oh.
So it's very interesting that everyone's been like speculating about, ooh, like who is gay and this kind of thing. But it is very kind of nice to cool to see the progression, especially with like, I think the gay marriage issue has been debated a lot, definitely in the US and Australia right now.
Yeah.
Like and the comics and cartoons and everything has always been a reflection of modern issues. So it's only natural for it to be appearing in mainstream media.
Yeah. All right, we can just do one more thing, and then we'll have to finish it up.
Okay.
Toonami.
Okay.
Yeah. So, let's go back a little bit. It was... All right. This was for the April Fool's.
April Fool's. Okay.
Yeah. So, for April Fool's, was it Adult Swim? Yes, it was them, right? Who started to, we've talked about this last podcast.
Yeah, the last episode, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about how they started showing
previously
scenes.
On Mooney Tunes.
Yeah. Yes, how they started showing some scenes of what Cartoon Network used to show on the Toonami block. And
yeah.
It started trending worldwide. People were really excited to see those segments brought temporarily back to Cartoon Network.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
It was very
exciting. And it was being live streamed on, like, not officially, but someone was live streaming the broadcast online, so everyone was watching it around the world, even if they weren't in the U.S. watching it officially.
Right. The thing is, Toonami listened. Well, I mean, Cartoon Network listened, and they decided to officially bring back Toonami. And this was huge news. Yay! This is huge news. Like, I saw this news posted in a lot of blogs, and I'm talking about pop culture blogs were blogging about it. The return of Toonami and blah, blah, blah. Of course, a lot of Moonies start watching Sailor Moon and because it came out on Toonami. So there's a lot of excitement and everything, but we know better. And by me, I mean, you know, Moonies who are following the whole licensing drama, I guess you can call it.
Mm.
We knew there was a high chance that it wouldn't come back. So, yeah, they announced what shows would be coming back. And I think some of the old anime that was going to come back was Ghost in the Shell, Cowboy Bebop, and Tenchi Muyo, I think. I don't know. But basically, the two animes that people most wanted was Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon. I mean, they're super iconic, those two. How could they not return? And,
I know.
Yeah, and nope, they sorry, Winnie. No.
Yeah.
No
well, for one thing, the guy behind the reboot of Toonami has said like the licenses for those series were really expensive, and right now they have a very small budget for Toonami.
Yeah.
Like really, really small budget, and they've actually said on Twitter and on a few press releases that if fans want better and bigger series to be shown on this new Toonami, then they really have to watch it and support it and make sure it becomes really, really popular so they can get better advertising, more advertising,
right,
and a bigger budget to buy better shows.
The thing is, these cartoons came out, well, these animes came out when a lot of younger people were like 10, 11, and they had time, you know, out of school, they would sit down and watch hours and hours of TV. Now, a lot of people have grown up, and a lot of them are working,
yeah.
And, you know, it's been like 10 years, so they are like 22, 23, so they don't have time anymore to sit down and watch the cartoons anymore. I mean, they're pretty glad it's back, because it's part of their childhood, and it's nostalgic and whatever, but I don't know, to me, it's looking a little bit iffy. Although I did hear it's number one in ratings or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it got like a, I think it was like a 14% boost from the time slot the previous week.
Yeah.
So the ratings were higher.
Yeah.
And I think in the certain age bracket, it was like number one or something.
Yes, yes, yes,
so,
exactly. So
yeah, it was very, very cool.
It's doing good. It's doing good. But I just think we have to go a little bit more to really
yeah.
get things moving.
But people do have to support it, too.
Yes.
So if people don't go, oh, it wasn't as good as the original, I'm not going to watch it anymore, then that doesn't achieve anything.
Mm-hmm.
That means it'll just go away again and nothing will happen. Maybe. We'll do a link to the Toonami website
okay,
in
yes.
the post for this podcast
yes.
on SailorMoonObsession.com.
Every time
so,
there's always
with information.
Links to everything we talk about, there's always links on the SailorMoon Obsession page. And
yeah, and also, like, it will be on, well, Sunday my time, but I guess Saturday night for US, maybe, when it starts screening, some random people online will be doing live broadcasts, basically, of their cable connection in the US to their computer, so people outside the US can watch the Toonami broadcast.
Oh, cool.
And so I tweeted that last Sunday, like, I didn't find it until, like, an hour into the broadcast, where I was like Googling and searching discussion forums, and I finally found someone who's doing it. And they're going to be doing it, I think, every week, basically.
Oh,
so if
cool.
you're outside the US, you can check out this link, and it'll be like a live feed of the broadcast. Obviously, not as good image quality or HD as you would get if you actually had it on your TV,
mm-hmm.
but you still can watch it, I guess.
That's cool.
But
I didn't know that.
But of course, if you were doing supported and you live in the US,
yes.
pay the extra money, get Cartoon Network for your cable subscription and help support Toonami, I guess.
Yes. Anyway, anything else you want to add, Brett?
Also, something quick. I'm just looking at the Mooney Tunes Facebook page, which you should all like right away.
Yes.
So pause this podcast, go like us on Facebook, because we do updates on there, such as whenever we go to conventions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, someone actually commented on the video, Holly M. Gilbert. She was actually, you caught her in the video, like in that short video
yeah.
where you were like Sailor Samara and that other fan.
Yeah.
She's in the background for 5 seconds.
Oh.
And she says like, Sailor Moon Obsession got me at 2 minutes, 35 seconds for like 5 seconds, lol. I didn't even know you guys were going, darn it. So we had like a Mooney Tunes fan, like literally like meters from you.
Yeah. See, that's why they didn't. Yeah.
Didn't even realize that you were there.
I know. Where did she say that? Is that on the Facebook page?
Yeah, on the Facebook page, she commented on the video.
Okay, I'll check that out later. But
that's
see,
quite funny.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, you were that close, Holly.
Oh, man. Well, you see, people didn't know that I was there, so.
So,
yeah.
Fan questions?
Oh, yes, I was about to close it, but go ahead, fan questions, yes.
We've got, let's see, we've got a few. So, sorry guys, for some reason Facebook didn't publish my tweet about letting us know questions. I don't know why Facebook is screwy. But, so, we did, that's why you should follow me on Twitter, wink wink. So I got some replies on Twitter, and Gabriella, or at Lila LZ,
right.
Asked, why haven't we chosen, like, a date for everyone to meet? Like, kind of like a get-together. And I guess that's something I've talked about for years, wanting to have like a big Mooney get together.
I know.
But for me, it's because I'm in Japan and none of you guys live here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Again, as I said previously, like when I'm back in Sydney, I will try to organize something because there's a lot of really awesome Moonies there.
Well, yes, there's a lot of Moonies there. And just like I mentioned before, even though I was in like, this Terry Hawk's event was in the U.S., a lot of Moonies missed it, too. I mean, it's really hard because Moonies are everywhere. So there's
yeah.
no, like, one central spot where we could all meet. Maybe Japan, but Japan is so expensive for a lot of people, you know?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Something like, I guess if the musicals came back, then everyone would have a really good motivation to come to Japan and do a meetup. Maybe
yeah.
with that. Have a big group, go see a musical.
I know.
But
I mean, even I was, like, planning to go to Japan this year, but there really had to be a reason. I wasn't going to go there just for fun. I really wanted to
yeah.
go if there was, like, a new anime, new merchandise, a musical, something, you know? But, you know, we hardly even get, like, the damn horoscopes as an update every month. At the
yeah, it was like, today's the 1st of June. And, yeah, they did updated new horoscope for June.
Yeah.
It's like almost a year now since the site's updated with real content.
I know. It's
the official
yeah.
Sailor Moon site we're talking about.
Yes.
So, but it would be cool. I think I'll definitely do something, probably December or January in Sydney
yeah.
with our Sailor Moon fans.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that. It would be cool. Sisson, you should do something at the same time wherever you are. We could have like a live stream with like the two simultaneous meetups.
It would be cool, but the thing is, excuse me. It would be cool, but the thing is, I go to Mexico in that time, and although I could organize something, we would be in Spanish, and you guys would be in English, and we couldn't really communicate with each other. But you know,
that was cool. Well, Sydney fans are multilingual anyway.
Oh,
like,
okay.
International. I think it'd be like mix of Cantonese, English,
yeah.
maybe some Italian. Yeah.
Well, you know, we can just make simultaneous events and, you know, tweet about it all night long.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Yeah.
But we will try and plan something in the future.
Yes,
so.
I agree.
Stay tuned, Gabriella.
That's our it's on our to-do list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shelly, I can't, this is like Shelly Sunfish. Shelly Sunfish, or at Shelly Sunfish, that's hard to say. I want to say Shelly Sunfish. She asks, any news of the US getting the rights for the anime? No.
Basically, no. That's a short.
Yeah, this just in. No.
Yeah, no news. It's really difficult. We know Funny has been flirting with the idea for a long time, and there's a whole bunch of other companies, you know, trying to get their hands on it. But for the U.S., nothing yet.
Yeah, it is a question I get asked pretty much on a daily basis. If there is news, you can guarantee that me and Sisin will both be tweeting like crazy,
yes,
like on our Twitters and on Facebook pages and Mooney Tunes Facebook page about, oh my God, the anime is coming back. So don't worry, you won't miss out on it if it does happen.
Exactly.
But right now there's been nothing official. People were spreading rumors about, because people don't read online. It's really getting really frustrating where someone would read something about Funimation does a poll for what anime they would like. People vote for Sailor Moon. They even say we don't have Sailor Moon yet in the article. People don't even just read that, or they misread it and be like, oh my God, Funimation's got Sailor Moon. And the rumor gets started. There's been nothing official at all.
Yeah.
And even Funimation, they don't actually have it. They're probably are nowhere near it. They just said they want to get it.
Yep.
I also want to get it. That doesn't mean I got it. You know what I mean? It's like, I know, it's like Fox Studios saying, oh, we would love to make a Voltron film. Doesn't mean they're going to do one. It's that's all it is. There's been nothing official at all. I still maintain my speculation that the reason the US is pretty much almost the only country that hasn't got the anime again is because it's the biggest region most likely to make a full feature film of the series. So I'm guessing that maybe the anime and the movie rights are connected somehow, which is why it's costing so much more money.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Japanese company wants them to make a movie if they get the rights to the anime, so it's kind of connected. But that's just a theory on my behalf.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, one more question.
Yep.
We have from Stephanie Jackson, or at TrebleSteph4.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, I have a question. What do you think of the chances of Sailor Moon re-air? Okay, what's the same question? What do you think of the chances of Sailor Moon re-airing in general or on Toonami? And actually, something else I will say here is just because Toonami Toonami can't really get the rights to the Sailor Moon anime, because that would be connected to whoever gets the rights to the DVDs, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So it would all kind of be connected. So people have been asking me to, like, everyone, let's email Toonami. Let them know we want Sailor Moon. We can make it happen. No, you won't.
They're pretty aware.
It's purely money.
Yeah.
They need money.
Yeah.
And they need Toei or whoever to actually sell them the rights. Emailing and spamming a company won't make it happen. It really is about money, as far as I know. So unless you want to, like, give $1 million to a company to get Sailor Moon, even then it's not guaranteed, because there must be something else happening besides money, because I'm pretty sure Funimation knows that it would be a gold mine if they bought it.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows that it's huge. Everyone knows it's going to make money.
Yeah.
So, and especially now with the manga's like topping the charts every time it comes out.
Yep, every single time.
Hmm. So hang in there. Patience is all we can really say.
Yeah. Oh.
And well, for right now, like, I guess while you're waiting for the anime to be re-released, go and read the manga, because I know a lot of people haven't read the manga yet.
Mm-hmm.
Some people on this very podcast, Sisin.
I'm reading it. I'm just behind. I'm on 4, and you guys are on 5.
Yeah, so plenty of Sailor Moon things to fill your time while you're waiting for the anime. Go watch Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, the live-action series, which is awesome. Even if you're not really into it, I think it's kind of like Vampire Diaries I was talking about. Get past the first, or for Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, get past the first 8 or 9 episodes, and then it really picks up and gets awesome.
Yeah.
And especially the second half of the series, which is amazing. Definitely go and watch Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon. The DVD box has been released on Amazon.jp. You can get the whole series for a very, very good price.
But is it subtitled? I don't think so, is it?
No, it's not subtitled. Yeah. And, of course, unofficially, you can find it online somewhere. YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube, yeah.
Scream. Oh, sorry, it's static there. Yeah, and definitely go and watch that. And, of course, there's all the musicals as well, which you should really go and watch. Even if you're not a musical person, they really are worth checking out. They do explore parts of the manga that weren't shown in the anime, like Pluto's love for Tuxedo Mask that's actually explored. And there's like anime characters that appear in the musicals that don't appear in the anime, and some really good music too. No, but yeah, so there's lots of Sailor Moon stuff to do while you're waiting for the anime. So go watch the musicals, go watch Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, go read the manga, and yeah, and then by the time you do all that, anime should be here. There's like those musicals are like 2 or 3 hours long sometimes. Yeah. So yeah. So there's, and there's about time. 20 of them.
Yeah. Oh.
And about 50 episodes of Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
And, yeah, plus the wedding episode, the Sailor V episode.
Right.
And the manga is thick.
And the manga still has a few months more to go. So you know.
Yeah, and I'm glad there's at least 2 months between each manga release, because those are thick and they take a long time to read through.
And I read in the bathroom. So I just read like once or twice a day, but like 5 minutes, and then, you know.
Class, all class.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, lots of stuff to do while you're
waiting. Right. Do you have any other question?
No, that's it right now.
Okay.
That's all the questions so far. So, thank you to everyone who was lucky enough to be online at the same time we're recording this episode.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I didn't forward to my... Normally, it automatically forwards to my Facebook page and people comment there too, but for some reason, Facebook didn't do it today. So, sorry, guys. But I think that's most of the questions everyone wanted to ask anyway.
Okay. All right. I think that's it for this month, or this episode of Money Tunes. Next time, hopefully, we'll have Eku back with us. I really missed her.
remember, yeah, I'm sure lots more Sailor Moon news. Volume 6 of the manga should be out, I guess, in a month's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Apple's having a conference. Maybe they're going to release a Sailor Moon phone. We never know. Maybe.
What's most likely going to happen is GE comes out with more merch, and
yes,
we'll keep on having... Yeah?
The Star Locket should be out, hopefully, yes, by the next time.
Yes, so look out for that, Mooney. So keep a wary eye on our tweets, because those are going to fly off the shelves. So
they really do. Even like the Sailor Moon brooch that came out, that really sold out within like a day.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
So, and the Star Locket, that's been most sought after Sailor Moon merchandise for years, decades.
Yes.
So... make sure, I really do recommend this, like, as soon as it comes out, buy it. I'm going to buy a few copies and eBay them.
Yeah.
because I'm evil as a little investment.
That doesn't really help, but thank you. But thank you for
actually, I don't know, actually, I am on a budget, and I'm not sure if I would use the Star Locket. But, and I guess these merch will be around for a while. They will make new ones.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the that's sold out, even the T-shirts that have sold out online, they get restocked. They do make new ones and restock the stores again.
Yeah, if they see it selling well, they will keep, you know, they're making money, so they're not going to step away from their opportunity to make money.
Exactly. It was like that Sailor Saturn t-shirt that sold out, like that's back in stock now, so yeah.
Yep.
So you never know. So that stuff should be coming out.
Yeah, so look forward to that, Moonies. And, that's it. And this was Cecine from the Sailor Moon Obsession blog.
And this is Brad from Mookie.net. Mm-hmm. Yeah, make sure to follow both of us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. I'm also on Pinterest. Sisson is not, because she's very slow uptaking new technology. But I do, if you're into Pinterest, I recommend it. I do pin a lot of really cool random Sailor Moon images and stuff that I find. So please feel free to follow me on my Pinterest account.
And feel free to follow me on Tumblr for all you alternative people who hate mainstream stuff and like to find new stuff months before people on Pinterest. Anyway.
Follow us, like us, subscribe on YouTube.
Subscribe on YouTube, comment, do everything you have to do.
Yes, stalk us.
Yes.
But not really.
I like that, stalk us.
All stalk right. Us in the fun way. But in the scary way.
Yeah, the scary way would be a little bit disturbing. Alright, see you guys next month. Bye, Moonies.
Thanks, guys. Sailor Moon says...